Fighting Words, written by In Rainbows and read by Titania. Summary. They weren't bad-mouthing him. They were bad-mouthing you. Or, Jin Ling got into a fight. Zhang Cheng had developed this sort of instinct. See, the Zhang sect leader's office in Lotus Pier stood at the end of a long wooden path that hopped over one of their many ponds, and anyone wishing to see the sect leader had to walk the length of that path. As such, they would be heard approaching at one point or another, footsteps thumping on the creaking wood a dead giveaway even for the most light-footed of cultivators. After years of spending most of his time here, Zhang Cheng had come to recognize whoever was coming to him by the sound alone, and, more importantly, what crisis he would have to deal with just by how hurried or frantic it was. It gave him an edge that he couldn't help but enjoy, when he seemingly prophesied what the subordinate of the day had come to tell him and saw their spooked expression. He knew all kinds of rumors circulated about him, most of them unflattering. He didn't care much for those claiming that his angry fits were so impressive it could kill those who witnessed it with a heart attack, or the most unsavory ones about the supposed skull collection he kept in his secret chamber. But he quite enjoyed the whispers among the servants and disciples that he could actually read their mind. Wouldn't that be practical? Or nightmarish? Or both? It would sure save him a lot of time. Zhang Cheng couldn't read minds, though. He was just very, very used to people barging into his office at any hour of the day and night to warn him about one mess or another. As such, when the old Yu Fengyang stepped in late that morning, Zhang Cheng already knew what this was about. What did he do this time? Granted, it wasn't as impressive in this case, because Yu Fengyang exclusively trekked to the heart of the Lotus Pier for one topic and one only. The rest of the time, he stayed at the training grounds where he instructed the young disciples, and where he had his living quarters too. Young Master Jin got into a fight with two older disciples. He broke one's nose and cost a tooth to the other. He took quite the beating himself as a result. Zhang Cheng put down the brush he had in hand to indulge in a bit of massaging his temples and feeling sorry for himself. He would have kept composure in front of everyone else, but the old Yu knew him too well. There was no point in pretending in front of him. He was one of the only elders that had survived the sack of Lotus Pier, one of the only Zhang sect members who had known Zhang Cheng as a child. If there was one person in this world Zhang Cheng could indulge in dropping his rigid sect leader composure with, it was him. Have him sent here, with Lian. She was there, wasn't she? She was the one to break the fight. Small mercies. Lian was a few years older than Jin Ling, going on 17, and one of the most talented disciples in Lotus Pio. Unfortunately, she was also the daughter of a murderer and a thief, promised to a dreary life before she and her fighting skills had caught old Yu's eyes in the market one day. There was nothing Zhang Cheng could do about her origins, but this wasn't the Jin clan. Cultivators of low extraction were welcome in the Yunmeng Zhang sect, if they proved their worth. They would never be able to rise to the highest position of the sect, but they were valued still. A tradition that had become a necessity after most of the cultivators native of Yunmeng had been slaughtered by the Wen. Yu Fengyang was fond of the girl, and Zhang Cheng appreciated her for one major fact that made it easy to overlook her other faults. She was one of the only disciples who had any sympathy, and as such, any influence, on Jin Ling. Zhang Cheng couldn't help but wonder if Jin Ling's isolation was on him, couldn't help but feel guilty about it. Was Jin Ling's prideful and prickly personality nature or nurture? As much as Zhang Cheng saw of Jin Xuan in the boy, he was convinced he wouldn't have grown to be so antagonistic had he been raised by his parents. Quick to anger and slow to friendship. Wasn't that exactly his uncle? Of course, it wasn't only that. Even if Jinling had been as mild-mannered and polite as Alan, Jiang Cheng shuddered at the mere thought, it wouldn't have saved him from the things people said about him, the way he was looked down upon. It wasn't as bad in Lotus Pier as it was in Carp Tower, where Jinling hated to go, understandably, because Jiang Cheng made sure to discipline harshly anyone he caught bad-mouthing his nephew. But he wasn't everywhere, and it's not like he could afford to focus solely on that issue. Besides, Jinling, prideful and stubborn as he was, had started to take offense in others defending him in such a way. The boy's teenage years were going to be a world of fun, Jiang Cheng could tell. Jinling suffered from his status as an orphan, as the heir to a generally disliked clan, as a pitied victim of the Yiling patriarch. But Jiang Cheng had told him time and time again that, at almost 12 years old, it was long past time for him to stop letting this get to him, especially if it resulted in a fight. The lesson had yet to take hold. Lian was different, because Lian's background was much worse than Jinling, and as such she had no understanding of what problems people had with the boy. Plus, she was brash and fierce, and she didn't hesitate to put him in his place, while also coming to his rescue when needed. It was a role Jiang Cheng had more or less bestowed her, albeit not officially. She was loyal. He believed she fulfilled that duty as a form of repayment for the Jiang sect taking her in. She was the only thing that came close to a friend to his impetuous nephew. Again, he knew it was them coming long before they made it to his office. Jinling was dragging his feet, despite being scolded countless times for it. Lian's tread was more rigorous, but she stomped like an angry horse, something she had also been told was undignified. He sighed. Children. "I won't apologize!" Jinling exclaimed as he barged into his uncle's office. One glare from him was enough to coerce the young boy into not looking so confident about it. He lowered his head, but at least he didn't step back. His lower lip was split and his face would be bruised come evening. His knuckles were scrapped too. A proper fight, then. He didn't look too worse for wear, at least. "What was it about this time?" Jiang Cheng asked tiredly. The boy pinched his lips and remained stubbornly silent. Probably because it sounded silly, because he was only now realizing that he had overreacted, and that his uncle would surely think so too. "How many times have I told you that you can't afford to be so soft-skinned, Jinling? You can't go around punching everyone who says a mean word about you. If we all did that, there would be no one left standing in the whole of Yingmeng." "The whole world, certainly. Ah, maybe those stuck-ups of Guzulan would survive it. After all, wasn't bad-mouthing others against their rules?" He couldn't believe them all upholding that particular one at all times. A good thing that Jinling didn't know how hypocritical his uncle was being right now. But it was precisely because he hadn't followed that advice in his youth that he tried to make sure Jinling would now. All the troubles they would have avoided, if only they had been more in control of their temper. If they had been able to ignore words like the meaningless noise they were. Jinling's face remained pinched and unhappy, eyes shining but tears held at bay. That wasn't something Jiang Cheng had needed to teach him. He was an emotional child, but he had learned on his own that showing tears made everything worse. Eventually, he had come to the conclusion that it would be shameful to his uncle too, even though Jiang Cheng had never wanted for the boy to shy away from him. But it's not like he could spell that out. So the boy cried on his own, or not at all. "No going out to town or to the woods until the end of the week," Jiang Cheng sentenced. "You'll help at the stables instead." Jinling opened his mouth to object, furious. Everyone hated stable duty, and it was often used as punishment for the misbehaving disciples. Jinling had done his fair share of it over the years, and would likely continue to do so. Jiang Cheng still retained enough authority over his nephew that a single glance silenced his protests, and the boy stormed off without another word to go sulk somewhere. Jiang Cheng leant back in his chair, suddenly exhausted. Take him to the healer before he goes on with his duties, he told Liang, pondering that they ought to work on that terrible habit Jinling had to take off without being properly dismissed. Why was it so hard to instill some manners into children? He could almost hear his parents mock him. It wasn't about him, Lian asserted. She was upset, he realized, and made no effort to hide it. She was way too blunt for her own good, but nothing had managed to beat it out of her.
What?
He asked, because he might as well get to the bottom of it. The fight. It wasn't about him. They didn't insult him. He's gotten better at letting go of those comments. A bit. Now that she said it, it was true that it was his first physical fight in a while. He still got into arguments with one youth or another almost daily, but it didn't get out of hand quite so much anymore.
What was it, then?
They were bad-mouthing you.
What?
I only heard some of it, and what Jinling was willing to share. Something about there being no need to train so hard since they would never be seen as prominent cultivators anyway, because the Zhang clan was subpar and would remain so with such a leader at its head. Or something.
Seemed like she had heard plenty, all right. Nothing unusual, he said through gritted teeth, because he had just scolded Jinling on that exact matter.
So he couldn't very well go tear those kids a new one now, no matter how much he wanted to. She shrugged.
It is, in Lotus Pier, and usually kept at bay in front of the little djinn. Anyway, he insulted them, their father, and their entire lineage, probably, claiming that you were worth 100 of them and that they could go drown in a pond or try to make it on their own if they weren't happy. It went downhill from there.
She played unaffected, but her anger was easily spotted, simmering under her closed-off expression. An anger much like Jinling's own, he imagined. Anger on his behalf. I have the name of the culprits, if it's of any interest to you, but know that they've already been taken care of.
What? What did you do?
No, not like that. I mean, I would have kicked their ass, but old Yu was there. He doesn't tolerate that sort of thing. They'll be drilled for a few extra hours each day for the foreseeable future, until he deems the offense repaid, which won't be soon. You'll see. He looked like a benevolent grandpa, but Yu Fengyang was a hard-ass when it came to training, just like Zhang Cheng's mother had been. She had learned it all from the old man. This was exactly how she would have dealt with it, he thought. After years of practice, the waves of pain and melancholia were easily quenched, but he wished he could prevent them from rising at all.
All right, all right.
He was a bit overwhelmed. She bowed quickly and walked away, but at the doors of his office she spun around and put up her arms in another clumsy salute. Eyes downcast, looking embarrassed like her brash character rarely allowed. I meant what I said. I would have kicked their ass hard enough to have them bedridden for a week, and so would the other disciples. People can't just go around and insult Sect Leader Zhang. She was out before the last word had faded in the air between them, leaving Zhang Cheng stunned in the middle of his office. He had an inkling that he had some respect from some of the clan. They wouldn't ever get anything done otherwise. But it was the first time he saw it in action, and that it was spelled out to him in so many words. And Jinling... He shoved it all aside and went back to his desk, eager suddenly to busy his hands and mind. The day's work wasn't done. He would deal with this later.
Go away, Yaya! Jinling yelled at the door of his room when the maid came to fetch him for dinner.
He was sore all over after an afternoon spent in the stable, and he was sure the smell was still clinging to his skin and hair despite his bath. He didn't want to see anyone. She opened the door anyway, and he was about to tell her off when he realized it wasn't Yaya at all. He scrambled to his feet.
Uncle! Sorry!
Uncle Zhang waved a hand, dismissing the apology. He didn't look too angry. He always looked a little angry. That was his default. So Jinling had learned to tell the difference with his real anger, especially when it was aimed at him. Uncle Zhang cast a disapproving look at Jinling's messy room, at the clothes discarded in a corner and the paper seal scattered on the desk.
but he wasn't here for yet another lecture on order and tidiness, it seemed.
"Are you all right, Arling?" he asked,
getting close enough that Jinling could spot some worry under his usual frown. He shrugged, embarrassed by the sudden concern. Uncle Zhang's frown deepened as he gripped Jinling's chin, turning his head to inspect the bruises darkening under his eye and around his mouth. Jinling hissed quietly when a finger pressed at the corner of his lips.
"It's not that bad," he tried, reddening in shame. Those two boys were at least 5 years older than him. He didn't stand much of a chance. Still, it was frustrating, since he had been the one to throw the first punch. He couldn't even follow through with it.
"Did you get it checked out?"
"Yeah, I'm fine."
His uncle took back his hand with a sigh, ran it on his face like he did when he was searching for words. Jinling was in for another lecture, he was sure.
"Yan told me what happened."
Jinling bit his lips to refrain from cursing.
He had asked her not to. It was embarrassing enough. Did she need to rat him out?
The thing was, he would be hard-pressed to explain what came over him to react so violently. He had been getting better at tuning out the harshest words thrown at him. That is to say, it still enraged him, and he wasn't above petty revenge, but he didn't lose his temper too much, and he didn't get into too many fights. The insults were getting old anyway, and honestly, the Zhang disciples had nothing on the Jin ones, and what they threw at him in Carp Tower. But this was different. This was so unnecessarily mean, and it wasn't even the truth. His uncle had rebuilt the whole of Zhang sect from the ground up all alone. What right did those idiots have to throw that back in his face, when they benefited from his teaching and protection? It was unacceptable.
"Don't fight on my behalf, Jinling," his uncle said sternly.
"They had no right to say those things."
"And they will be punished for it. But this does not concern you."
Jinling ground his teeth and tightened his fists, struggling like always to contain his rising anger. Talking to his uncle was so frustrating sometimes. He just didn't get it. Granted, Jinling didn't exactly get it either, but was it so hard to understand that it enraged him so much when others said bad things about Zhang Cheng? It was not fair. They had no right.
I can't just say nothing.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. And I won't. They were saying stuff and it's just not the truth. You're always working hard while they do nothing at all and even my Uncle Jin says you're very impressive and a good sect leader and that I should follow your example.
He does.
Uncle Zhang looked honestly surprised. Skeptical, too. Jinling decided to press on, emboldened now.
Yes, and lots of people say so, too. Old Yu and Yu Zhenyan and Jinshu, too. And even Yan and Yaya and the disciples, they're always saying how you do so much and how lucky it is that you're the sect leader and...
Now, Jinling wasn't the most perceptive of people. That was true. He tended to assume the worst of people and could easily mistake kindness for mockery or concern for anger. But he wasn't that bad. And he could sort of make out what was playing on his uncle's face right now. For some reason, it seemed like he didn't believe him. It was not the face he made when he knew Jinling was lying through his teeth. He always tried, even if his uncle could read his mind or something and never fell for it. No, it was more like... Was it so weird what he was saying? Surely Uncle Zhang had to know, right? He had to know the people of the Yunmeng Zhang sect and Lotus Pier were deeply loyal to their sect leader, and generally took badly to anyone criticizing him. Jinling knew how they were viewed from the outside the sect, but from within... What had happened today was very rare. Maybe some thought this way, but they certainly didn't dare voice it aloud, lest they were ready to face the reprisal of the nearest disciple. It's true that his uncle was scary and short-tempered. He was intransigent, austere, and merciless to his enemies. But he treated everyone fairly in Lotus Pier. He let no offense go unpunished, no matter who was involved, and he put the same expectations of discipline and righteousness on everyone, including himself. It was all common knowledge. It was obvious. Right? Anyway, Zhang Cheng dismissed again, as if shaking his hand around would dispel that whole conversation. Don't do it again, Jinling. He didn't believe him. He didn't! What was the point, then, of the maid bothering Jinling all day long to know if his uncle was eating properly? Of Jinzu sneaking into the inner courts just to check if their sect leader was resting when he was supposed to? Of the younger disciples banding together to be as inhospitable as possible to the ones coming from Guzulan, because Zhang Cheng was always in such a terrible mood after they came, and so the least they did, the better? Jinling didn't get it. His uncle was very smart. He handled everything at once in the Lotus Pier, from the money to the diplomacy to the trade to the training of the Yunmen Zhang cultivators. He was smart. And yet... Jinling waited anxiously for his uncle to exit his room so that he could throw himself on his bed and wallow in his frustration and misery. But the man stopped at the door, hesitating.
Jinling, what you did was unnecessary, he said tersely.
And Jinling refrained from saying that, fine, I get it, because fine, he got it. Uncle Zhang lost a bit of his harsh expression then. Just a bit.
But it was nice of you.
He looked like someone was forcing him to talk or something. There was a long pause, but Jinling was too dumbstruck to intervene.
Thank you, Aling.
Jinling wasn't breathing anymore.
Don't do it again.
The door slammed on his uncle's back. Jinling did throw himself on his mattress, but it was mostly to muffle his giggling into his pillow, both at Uncle Zhang's awkward face and at the words he had painfully voiced out. Forgotten were his punishment and his uncle's remonstrance. Jinling didn't feel guilty this time. He knew he was in the right. He would do it again. The end.